This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend, Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. We don't find many parables in the Gospel of Mark, only two, in fact. We've already taken up the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, as we called it, and now we're going to look at the second. I'm going to ask Ken Brooks to read the whole parable. Why not follow along in your Bible? This is Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. He'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, but you use whatever version or language edition that you have. That's Mark chapter 12, and beginning with verse 1.
And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, and dug a vat under the winepress, and built a tower, and rented it out to vine growers, and went on a journey. And at the harvest time he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and that one they killed, and so with many others, beating some and killing others. He had one more to send, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those vine growers said one to another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Thanks, Ken. Well, there's our lesson material for today. I'm going to do something a little different this time. I'm going to quote at length from an article by Dr. Stephen Olford. The dramatic and vivid parable that we've read together is the story of a highly favored nation that failed to realize God's great purpose for its life. As Jesus paints this word picture, he had in mind the Jews who were listening to him, and they knew it. But since a nation is made up of individuals, a story is essentially one of human life. And the more the parable is read, the more evident it becomes that this represents the story of your life and mine. First of all, God likens your life to a vineyard, to which he's given much thought and care. Have you ever paused to consider the story of your coming into the world? You owe your very existence to him. Behind your parents and the secondary causes, there's the hand of your Creator. God said, "I am the Lord, your Creator." Medical science today acknowledges that physical birth is still the greatest miracle of human life. Without God's forethought and care, it can never happen. As we follow the story, we learn further that the vineyard had a wall placed around it. Perhaps you never realized that, but for the fact of God's protecting care, you would not be alive. It's common knowledge that life from the cradle to the grave is one long battle against disease, decay, sin, and unseen forces of evil. We also read that the divine householder dug a vat under the winepress. God's goodness is such that he has provided you with the capacity to receive and reciprocate, as far as is humanly possible, all his good gifts. No man is born into the world without this capacity. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us that God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The all things include the temporal mercies and spiritual blessings that God showers upon us day by day for our personal enjoyment. With this providing care, we must think also of his preserving care. For we notice that he built a tower. The tower was the lookout from which enemies within the vineyard could be detected. And here's yet another way in which God has expressed his love for men and women. He's given you your inner tower of preserving conscience so that you will be able to discern between good and evil. The fact that you've not heeded the warnings of conscience is no reflection on God's care. You have the prerogative to ignore him or to acknowledge him. You can withhold a worthy and fruitful response to the sovereign love and care that he lavishes on your life. Such misuse of his sovereignty is nothing less than base ingratitude. It reminds me of a lad who lost his father while he was still a babe in arms. But notwithstanding this, he was splendidly reared by a devoted and hard-working mother. Indeed, by wearing off her flesh to the bones, this grand soul earned sufficient to send her boy to the university. The lad did well, and in due course of time he passed his examinations with distinction. You can imagine then with what joy the mother attended the university to watch as the honors were conferred upon her son. One final pleasure remained. It was that of embracing her boy and escorting him home. As the young man filed out of the auditorium in the company with others, he dared to snub his surprised, heartbroken mother by remarking to one of his friends, "Ah, she's only the old washerwoman who handled my laundry while I was here at the university." What base ingratitude. What unthankfulness. But are we not very much like that boy? After God has done so much for us, and then we fail to thank him, fail to give him the proper place in our lives, and as the parable gives, yet we refuse his son. The parable reminds us that the husbandman took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. This is the greatest sin that anyone can commit. In a very real way, it means crucifying the Son of God afresh and putting him to an open shame. Is it any wonder that the story concludes with the miserable destruction of those who perpetrated such a crime as the murder of the owner's son? Think again of the privileges of your life. Surely such considerations demand the right to use the prerogative of choice. You have a choice. Will you not receive God's Son by inviting him into the vineyard of your life?